702.
The Newsmaker of the Day with John Perlman.
Right, let's talk about cloud seeding. It's something that's been in the news as I set out this in relation to torrential rain in the United Arab Emirates, not just in Dubai, but in other parts as well. Professor Roelof Burger is with the Northwest University Unit for Environmental Sciences and Management, but he's also with the World Meteorological Organization, where he is a member of the expert team on weather modification. Professor Burger, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Afternoon, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what is cloud seeding? I mean, I've sort of been talking about it as if I kind of know what it's about, but truth be told, I don't.
Yeah, it's a technology that's fairly old. It started around about the Second World War, just after that. And it's these days, it's a term that encompasses a whole bunch of different technologies.
Right.
You know, there's two fundamental processes that you might try and change in clouds that produce rainfall. The one is what we call the warm processes. So that's where there's liquid drops that you want to change. And the other is cold processes. That's where there's ice or snow in the storms, and you're trying to change that. And the technologies range from shooting clouds with rockets, having flares on mountains, or flying with an aircraft into the storm and putting some seeding material there to try and change natural processes.
Does it work? And if so, to what extent?
Well, this is a very technical and difficult answer. So there has been some experiments, and there's a famous experiment in the last few years that has directly showed that in some environments, you can actually make a small change to cold clouds. So I would say there is some evidence that we could intentionally slightly nudge the clouds to produce more rain. But theoretically, we could also, in our attempts, maybe cause the clouds to rain a little bit less. Our understanding is incomplete at this moment, but it's an ongoing field of research, and there's some exciting developments.
So we'll talk about those developments in a moment, but let's focus on Dubai and the UAE. I believe they have a cloud seeding program. What is it aimed to achieve? And, you know, presumably if they carry on with it, they've got some optimism that it has benefits.
Sure. So they've got an ongoing operational program that's been running for, I would say, at least 20 years now. But they also have a research project that's a worldwide campaign that funds global research. So if we stick to the operational project, they have a few aircraft that flies, and they try and change the warm processes by putting in the hygroscopic material. It's almost like sea salt that they put at the base of clouds. And as they've been doing this for 20 years, they've got about 4 aircraft. But they also have a criteria where they won't be seeding if there's any big rain events like this. So I can with confidence say that I'm sure they weren't doing any operations during these events.
So we'll continue our conversation with Professor Roelof Burger. He's joining us from Northwest University. We're talking about various ways, broadly termed cloud seeding, I suppose, in which we try to influence whether there will be rain or not. Fascinating conversation. I'm going to turn as well to issues around whether this is used in South Africa, and if not, why not? And you may have some questions of your own. Please feel free to join our conversation, 011-883-0702 and 072-702-1702. It's 16 minutes past 5. Just as an aside, before we get back to our conversation about climate, when I asked Mvangeli, where's Mooikloof? I mean, it's interesting when I hear the weather reports, obviously with Mvangeli, but also our traffic reports, I beg your pardon, with Mvangeli, but also through the day on 702, Amor Romila kicking us off in the morning. I do sometimes say to myself, oh, where is that? And I'm just wondering, how well do you know Gauteng? I mean, when you hear the name of a place or the name of a road or whatever, can you picture it? Do you know it? I'd be interested to know, because some people's jobs actually require you to be up and down on the roads. You might be in sales, you might be in logistics, and you may be moving kids around, transporting them to sport, which is kind of a job too. But tell us, how well do you know Gauteng and the various cities and metros that make it up? I'd like your thoughts on that. 18 minutes past five.
702. John is on Twitter at John Perlman.
Let's pick up then with Professor Roelof Burger to reintroduce him. Joining us from Northwest University, he's with the Unit for Environmental Sciences and Management. Prof, I mean, over the many, many years of drought and insecure rainfall in South Africa, have we tried as a country or individual entities to do cloud seeding? What's the story of cloud seeding in our country?
So we have a very rich history in cloud seeding. It started in the 60s. It was mostly funded by our national funding institute called the Water Research Commission. And it was done under the auspices of the South African Weather Service. So between the 1960s and around 2000, we had ongoing campaigns. We tried a whole bunch of different methods. And the last experiment, which was done in that time in Nelspruit, Bethlehem, and Polokwane areas, that produced research that still today is seen as some of the most groundbreaking work in the field. Right. And as such, our South African expertise are widely used. There's lots of South Africans involved in this field all around the world.
What about scale? I mean, you know, you talk about research projects and you say it's been going on for a long time. I'm just looking at a comment in an article I've made. I don't know if you know Friederike Otto, who's a lecturer in climate science at Imperial College London, was talking to one of the British, in fact, to Reuters, and said this, cloud seeding can't create clouds from nothing. It encourages water that is already in the sky to condense faster and drop water in certain places. That drop water in certain places caught my eye. I mean, is it something that could be used if you've got a particular area of crop that really does need water at a particular time? Can it be used as precisely as that, or is this still something we don't know?
It really depends on the climatology of the specific area.
Right.
So as I mentioned, one of the most recent research has shown that specifically in cold climates, you know, where there's snowfall and ice processes in the storms, you can actually target those catchments fairly efficiently.
Right.
In terms of our kind of rain, it's a little bit more difficult because I agree with that statement. You can't, at the moment, we can't make clouds. So we have to wait for the perfect opportunity. And if that opportunity presents itself, you have to be there with the technology at a very precise place and time. So it's technologically very challenging to do operationally at scale, as you say.
I think we've got a question for you, one of our listeners, Mark. Let's hear from Mark and get your response then, Prof.
Hi, 702. This is Mark from Johannesburg. Regarding the seeding, about a few months ago, two, 3 months ago, there was this lady that came onto Facebook with a video of hail that fell in her garden. And after two or three days, this hail had not melted. And she can't get it to melt. She can squeeze it in her hand and it doesn't melt. It's the most weirdest hail I've ever seen in my life. I can't even admit, even though I wasn't there, I could just see it on the video. But is that a form of seeding, and why doesn't the hail melt? And if the hail's not melting, why would we want that in our clouds or in our atmosphere? It sounds dodgy at best. Mark from Johannesburg, ask the characters.
Yeah, there we go. So I think you heard Mark clearly there. Prof, any connection between what he's describing and our attempts to, through seeding or anything else, to modify the weather?
Thanks, Mark. No, there hasn't been any cloud seeding officially over the last 20 years. So many people would call and say they've seen something that looks a little bit dodgy. But we have strong legislation in our country, and any operations has to be done in auspices with the South African Weather Service. So officially, there's nothing going on. I don't know if people are doing something illegally. I wouldn't think so. But in terms of that specific phenomena, it's quite common for if you have a lot of hail that fell like those storms we had a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of hail accumulates in one place for that to last a while after yes. that. It could be a days if it's in the shade. And if you look at places where it snows, you can find that snow living long after. This topic of Mark does link to unintentional modification of storms. And that's something that we should also mention, that our pollution that we emit and the cities, the way that we build cities,
right.
has a drastic impact on natural processes. And pollution in the clouds, you know, that could be things that is much more likely than people trying to change, illegally change processes.
So, Prof, earlier in our conversation, you said there's some exciting developments and presumably research evolving in ways that take us closer towards application. What's going on that's got you so optimistic, perhaps?
So, I mean, this field that we're talking about links directly with the biggest elephant, and that's climate change. And because of this threat, what we want to do is we want to understand our natural system. So, and that is the kind of project that we're busy with, is on a very small scale. We would, for example, some of my colleagues in South Korea and Japan, they build these massive chambers, and then we make clouds inside these chambers, and then artificially try and change processes. And while doing this, we're trying to figure out the science and the mathematics of how clouds work. And this is integral yes. for us to actually eventually understand the Earth system, so that we can then try and understand how we unintentionally modify these processes. And at some point in the future, hopefully we can come to a place where we can manage this efficiently.
So two more questions from our listeners. I think let's listen to both and then get your response.
Hi there, John. Another question for the prof, following up from Mark's comment, is what exactly is the seeding? Is it chemicals or mechanical? If we could get a little bit more info on that, would be great. Thank you.
Hi, 702 and listeners. Calvin here from Linksfield. I wanted to find out from your guest, what are the dangers behind cloud seeding, and what type of particles do they use in cloud seeding that gets stuck in the water, that gets put into our water system? Concerned citizen, I suppose.
Yeah, I think two related questions. Professor Berger, over to you and your thoughts.
Sure. So this is a common concern, and definitely something people should be worrying about. The work in South Africa developed this kind of seeding material that was at the time very novel, and that is now widely used. And this is called potassium chloride, which is basically table salt. What we're trying to do with the warm rain processes is we put particles there. Instead of drops having to grow on very small pollution particles, we put big salt particles in the cloud, and the drops will grow much quicker and then make the rainfall process more efficient. This is the warm rain processes. For the ice processes, we typically use something like silver iodide, and this is a particle that looks very much like an ice crystal. When you put it in the cloud, you're sort of stimulating the ice particles to start to develop. There's been a lot of studies, and I'm currently at a conference where I just listened to a presentation where people right. have been doing this for 20 years, and they're doing studies looking at the potential environmental impact, and it's negligible, especially compared to the other pollution that we pump into the atmosphere.
And just finally, you don't have to answer this, Professor Berger, but if indeed you can target rain in very precise ways, if South Africa are playing Australia in a cricket test match and we are sort of 135 for six, and, you know, it's the last day of the test, Is it possible to seed a cloud and create a rainstorm and give us a draw? You don't have to answer that, as I said.
Easy question. We definitely look at that.
Thank you very much. Please do. We often need the rain. Seriously, though, fascinating stuff. Professor Roelof Burger joining us from the Northwest University. He's also a member of the World Meteorological Organization's expert team on weather modification. Really interesting stuff. And if I see that Les has sent us a really interesting WhatsApp on this topic, which I'll share with you in a moment.